This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Angela Barnes live from the Fringe on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, here we are. It is indeed Angela Barnes. We are live from the Edinburgh Fringe. We are coming to you live from the underbelly, right smack in the middle of where it's all going on. We have some very special invited guests with us in the studio today. We have the Bog family. Give us a little cheer, the Bog family. So, you're very welcome to join us. It's second day of the Fringe. I did my first show last night and I haven't had a breakdown yet. So we're going to be all right. It's going to be fine. I've got four great guests with me today. So you'll be pleased to hear it's not just me wittering on. We have the amazing Justin Morehouse. We have the... Woo, indeed, woo. We have the brilliant Tiffany Stevenson. We have all the way from the States, we have the brilliant Michael Shea. And the wonderful Lucy Paul. Woo! So I think rather than just me muttering on about not having had my breakfast yet, I should bring on the first guest. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Justin Morehouse. Yay. Hey, come and join me here, Justin. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you might need a mic. There we go.
Forget about this audience here. It's the one outside, isn't it?
Yeah, so there are people hopefully listening live at home. And to those people, you can tweet us if you want to join in at FUBAR Radio.
Why does people never just enjoy the moment?
I know, they don't anymore.
Why
do
can't
they?
Just go listen and enjoy it? Why do you?
Yeah, fuck it, don't tweet us. Actually, don't tweet us.
Why does everybody have to tweet everything? Oh, Facebook.
Oh, Justin, it's day two. Are you feeling that already?
No, I'm very warm under these lights,
it's
though.
It's pretty.
We don't need these lights. We don't need them this strong.
It is a little bit Shea Stadium in here right now.
I'll be honest with you. I think I'm going to put goggles on and like spray myself down and only do 8 minutes. I'm getting a tan. This is not a joke, by the way. If you're on the lights, this is a cry for help. Turn the lights off. I'm a big lad.
I think they can see us.
Sweating.
At the back. I think we're all right.
I'm wasted away.
Oh, Justin, have you done your first show yet?
Yes, I did my first show.
Excellent. Now, your show is called...
Oh, does anyone care?
We all care, Justin.
No, that's what it's called.
Oh.
No, it's not.
I know what it's called. It's Destiny Calling.
My show's called Destiny Calling, yes.
Yeah. Do you want to give us a little bit what it's about? Are you sick of that already?
No, I'm not. I'm pleased with the show. I'm quite happy to talk about myself. I'm a comedian.
Of course. What was I thinking?
It's called Destiny Calling. Because I was going to walk on to the James song, Destiny Calling.
Right.
And I've got a great little anecdote about Tim Booth.
Ooh.
But that's not made the show.
Ooh, do you want to share it here?
Yeah, I can do.
Yeah, go on. We'll have a little anecdote. Why not? I mean, I must admit that two of the members of the live audience here definitely don't know who Tim Booth is.
All right. Well, I'll bring it to life with my anecdote.
Please do.
there's a band called... I talk about
Memory Loss?
Torval and Dean. Okay. In my show as well. So I'll explain to Torval and Dean.
Do you know I've got grade 9 in figure skating, Justin?
Have you?
I bloody have, yeah. Nobody believes that when they look at me now.
Well, I talk about Torval and Dean and about Sarajevo and, you know, and the Triumph.
Those topics are linked.
Yeah, you know, Ravel's Bolero. And then I talk about Night 4, they came back and, you know, Lillehammer. It wasn't a lift, it was an assisted move. I'm still angry. I'm a very straight man, but I like figure skating. Mm. And, well, ice dance technically, isn't it? Mm. So Tim Booth is in this band called James. You've heard of them, young people? They sing a song called Sit Down.
Oh, that's
you might
so
see your
depressing.
Parents
their
at weddings.
Blank faces. So I must tell the listeners at home, we have a 15-year-old and a 19-year-old looking at us now going, who the fuck are James? And
no.
That is making me want
to
cry.
I'm glad Angela's behind a desk because she's ready to put you on her knee.
Yeah. Spit on a hanky, wipe that bit of food off your cheek. That's what
so
I'm
anyway,
do.
I'll tell you about them. I used to have a radio show years ago and it was in Manchester and we used to play James quite often because they were local and there's that Mancunians have got this kind of like reverential civic pride bordering on the Liverpudlian and do you know like how Liverpool's gone?
Yeah. I mean Manchester, they never mention the Beatles in
no,
Liverpool do they? It's
Manchester's
weird.
About to go that far so we kind of play Mancunian songs and things and we played James and me and my producer Sean would always say James like cheese on toast.
Right.
In that every time you have cheese on toast, no one ever has cheese on toast and goes, oh, I wish I'd not had that. You always go, oh, I like cheese on toast. I should have more cheese on toast. And it's the same with James. So every time you play James, you go, oh, I like James.
Yeah.
We should play James more. One day, so we used to call them cheese on toast. We used to go, oh, that's laid by cheese on toast. And then The Liz, oh, it was like a running joke. And one day Tim Booth came in. He's quite a serious artist. And he came in, he was in reception, and I said, oh, there's Tim Booth, to my producer. And my producer said, whatever you do, don't go over and tell him about cheese and toast. You'll look like a dick, right?
You went, did it. I could see the look in your eyes. Yeah.
I went, nice to meet you, Tim. Thank you for the music. And he went, all right, cheers. I went, it's funny, actually, you should be here. Because every time we play James, we say James are like, cheese on toast, but not in a bad way. And he looks at me, and if you know Tim Booth, he's quite a serious chap. He's got a bald head. He arched an eyebrow. He looks a bit like a Mancunian Ming the Merciless, doesn't he? He's arched an eyebrow and went, oh, that's interesting because I'm both lactose intolerant and a celiac. So I can never have cheese on toast.
Oh, what a sense of humour.
I do. I lose myself when I see people that I admire.
Yeah, yeah.
I genuinely, from this town, this guy, what's he called? The guy on the bike, Chris Hoy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Britain's best ever Olympian. Jason Manford introduced me to him.
Right.
I'm friends with Jason.
Do you want to pick that name up? There we are, there it is.
No.
I know, I'm joking.
It's all right. He's a friend of mine, Jason. He's a friend of mine. And he'd done his tour and he was having a little party. And he said, come to my party. And because he's Tinker Dungud, it's at a curry house in Chorlton.
Nice.
Right. He goes, I've saved you a spot. So I get there and he points, I've saved you a seat. And he sat me next to Chris Hoy.
Wow.
So special.
Did you know who it was?
Yeah, of course I did, yeah. I thought, first of all, don't put the two lads with the big thighs next to each other. That's awkward. So I have this thing when I meet somebody, I feel the need to empathise. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm thinking, I need to empathise. I said, oh, it's funny we should meet like this. You know, I said, thank you for the medals. I said, it's funny we should meet like this. He said, why is that? And I actually genuinely said to Britain's most successful Olympian and best ever cyclist, I've just bought a bike.
No, mate.
And he looked at me and he went, all right. Papa Dom.
Had you just bought a bike?
Yeah, I bought a bike, yeah.
I had a similar thing with, I met Ringo Starr once.
Right? Oh, did you? Hang on a minute.
Yeah, just clunk.
That's just dropped on my name.
I met him once. My cousin's bike.
Did you just tell him you bought a bike? That would be brilliant.
I wish it had been that than what I actually did say. Because my cousin's band used to support Eric Clapton. Every New Year's Eve would do this benefit gig for the AA, right? Yeah. Not the AA, not the Automobile Association, no, for AA. And my cousin's band would support that. So I used to go along. I didn't go every year because you couldn't drink on New Year's Eve. That was weird, so... But this
not
one
really,
year,
not an AA meeting. It's not weird. It's probably right.
Yeah, but Eric Clapton sang Cocaine every year at that.
Yeah.
That thing, yeah, blew my mind. But anyway, not Rick Astley. How do I get from Ringo Starr to Rick Astley?
Well, that's your business.
Yeah, well, Ringo Starr was a special guest one year, and my cousin said to me, do you want to meet Ringo?
Yeah.
And I said, well, yeah, it's a Beatle. Of course I want to meet
Ringo. Yeah.
And so he introduced me, but I was really starstruck and couldn't
speak. You would be.
And they were chatting, and I just said... All I said was, oh, this is like watching Thomas the Tank Engine to a Beatle. And he just looked at me and I just walked off and that was that. That was my interaction with Ringo Starr.
And Angela slowly walked away.
And my cousin's never introduced me to any of his musician friends since.
Is your cousin in a famous band?
He's not in a famous band, no.
How?
No.
Is your cousin an alcoholic?
My uncle was. And,
your uncle was?
He was in the same AA as Eric Clapton, which is how my cousin's band.
You're not supposed to talk. I've stopped drinking and I've got some sobriety pals.
Yeah.
And I'm white knuckling at the moment.
What does that mean?
It means you're just hanging on doing it yourself.
Right, okay.
Like, but I want a drink!
How long have you not been drinking?
Since about 11 o'clock last night. No, for about a year.
Cool.
And just because I wanted to see what it was like. Yeah. I kind of didn't want to be drunk all the time. I was a binge drinker, so I was just... Right. I'm kind of probably in a massive period of denial by saying I'm not an alcoholic, but... I've just had a drink
for
ages.
Isn't that the first rule?
Yeah, I've not had a drink. I gave up smoking. I've never been as miserable in my life.
How long have you not smoked? Because I gave up smoking 5 years ago, and I'd say it took me 4 years before I could stop crying around.
But don't you sound like a smoker still?
Thanks, mate.
Don't I?
Oh, you do?
Yeah, you do as well.
I do.
Yeah.
I've got this nasal
thing. I thought you was a smoker.
Not for 5 years.
How did you give up?
Just stopped. I actually was having an operation on my adenoids.
Yeah.
And they ended up having to keep me in because I had some... problems. So I ended up in hospital for a week and I couldn't smoke and I thought I'll just see if I can carry on.
Well, once you've done a week, you've done it. I did it with Champix.
Oh, how was that? That's the drug, isn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of like, it's amazing.
You get good dreams. I've heard you get good
dreams. Yeah, you want to kill people and you genuinely just alters your mind.
Are you still on Champix? Because I'm getting nervous.
No, but it kind of, like, you start crying for no reason.
It's like being
But you
a woman.
Know why it is, so you cry. Oh, hashtag everyday sexism.
I'm allowed to say it. I am one.
All right, then now I can talk about being a paedophile. No, so I had this. So it makes you cry often. So, but it's nice. It's kind of like it's good to cry every now and then, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a bath for the soul.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah. So it's working for you.
Yeah, so I gave up smoking. I've had my hip replaced.
Brilliant.
Yeah, with another one. Thought that was a good idea.
It's like so you're a bionic man.
I am. I've changed. I've kind of like. So that's why my show's called Destiny Calling. Because right. I'm 45. I'm kind of halfway through my life.
Oh mate, that's.
I know.
Oh God.
It's ambitious.
I was going to say that's ambitious, and then yeah. I thought, no, that's too mean. Don't right. say it.
It's the first joke in the show. How old are you, Dad? 48. You're 48. Are you from Ireland?
Yep.
Whereabouts?
Bangor, outside Belfast.
That's in Wales. Bangor. It's that far outside Belfast. It's in North Wales. Bangor. It's got a joke, hasn't it?
Yeah.
How long are you here for? All right, so you just came while it was nice and cheap. Previews.
You just made a mistake.
Oh, you made a mistake today. Cheers, guys. Cheers for the support.
Oh, you mean this is a mistake?
No.
Oh. All right, what are you going to go and see? What did you see last night?
The gala thing at the Assembly.
Oh, good way to start, yeah.
And
like a selection box?
Yeah.
All the shows you can't get to go and see because you're going home on Saturday. What else are you going to see?
We saw Blam and...
Blam? What's Blam? I don't think I've...
Dance, is it?
It's
physical theatre.
It's The Office meets Die Hard.
Oh, that
never
sounds
go
amazing
any
already. What?
No, never go see any show that meets some another show.
I've noticed there's a Game of Thrones musical. Didn't see that coming, did you?
Oh. I'm like Ken Dodd meets Louis C.K.
In so many ways.
That'd work, actually, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Should have that on the posters.
Get those flashes on the posters. So you just turn around and look to your PR person, then making sure she's made a note of that.
I'm sweating.
Oh, mate,
under these lights.
Right. Let's bring on another guest so you can sweat with someone else. How about that? Should we have you sweating on Tiffany Stevenson?
Yeah, that's a
Tiff,
dream.
Tiff, come and join us. This is amazing. Tiffany Stevenson is going to come and join us at the desk. Give her a round of applause. Hey.
What are those shoes you've got on?
Yeah, do you like them? They're really good radio, these shoes make.
Oh, they're amazing.
Amazing. They've got wings on them.
Are they specifically for your show?
They kind of are. They're Adidas, Jeremy Scott. There's a bit about sort of advertising. It's called Madman. A bit about advertising. I ordered them from America. On the internet when I was drunk and in the northeast, so take what you will from that.
Well, yeah.
Could have bought a house.
Yeah, probably. Probably. They do have wings on them and they're kind of like a totem pole, so for those of you listening that
they
can't see them.
They are pretty spectacular.
That's a nice way to disrespect thousands of years of Native American culture.
Yeah.
Turn into a pair of trainers made by children in another third world part of the world.
Designed by Jeremy Scott, who got paid a lot of money. Yeah. But this kind of the stuff I talk about in the show, because I think I own these trainers, but actually what I'm doing is I'm just walking advertising for Adidas, aren't I?
Yeah.
Tax deductible walking advertising. Yeah. So yeah. Let's look on the bright side.
So there's a little bit of a little bit in the show about how at some point in our lives we all become corporate clothes horses.
Right.
I don't.
I'm not sure
You've
I'm
got a pair
way.
Of fucking Air Max on, mate. What
That's because
about?
I'm fat.
Right, what does the air bubble do if you're fat?
No, it's not that. It's if you look at all fat people, they always wear good shoes. Because the right? one thing we know that can fit.
Yeah, well, that's why I like shoes and handbags as a woman, because they don't judge you.
Exactly.
So you can lose
handbags or gain. Come in one size only.
Yeah.
That's, well, they don't, lots of sizes.
That's the point, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So we, you know.
They're good kicks, they are good kicks.
Yeah, they are, actually.
I know nothing, but don't look at my shoes. I'm really embarrassed. I'm wearing shoes that got really muddy in latitude and I haven't
they're
washed
like
them
nana shoes.
They're like Anna shoes.
Like Nana
shoes. Nana shoes. They're very comfortable. Nana I'm 38. Shoes. I can't be wearing
those. Are shoes that my Nana wears because she can't do laces because her fingers are arthritic.
Thanks, mate. I've got flat feet, you see. I have to be very careful.
You got
shoes
a basket on your bike.
I bloody have.
Yeah, I knew you had.
They're nice, nice colour, Angela.
Thank you. They're pink.
Don't be taking sartorial slams from Morehouse.
What make are
I'm
they?
I'm not it, from the man in the T-shirt.
What make are they?
They are, God knows. I don't know.
Oh, let me have a look. Nana.
It says New Feel.
New Feel.
Feel new?
I bought them from Decathlon. They were.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
They look like the kind of shoes you buy off the back of a Sunday supplement. Do you know what I mean?
Reader's Digest. Yeah.
Like you can hold them up with one finger.
A JML. Yeah. They're so light.
Incredibly light and comfortable.
I think the problem is too much daytime TV. I think I watch too much. I thought that the other day when I was wearing my JML shower shoes, planning my funeral, reclaiming my PPI.
Was you doing your peddy stone?
I love the peddy egg. Yes. It sends my boyfriend insane.
You've got one?
It's so, yeah, I love it. What I'm hoping is I can shave off enough of my foot skin.
Sorry, it's lunchtime, Tiff. Can we?
But my boyfriend's like, Bibi, that is disgusting. It looks like Parmesan. Like, don't leave it in the kitchen.
Do you go with Fulton Mackay from Pops?
I do, yeah. I very much create a character of my boyfriend. He doesn't get to be real. He just gets to be the person that says "Bibi" all the time. That's how every sentence starts. Bibi, I don't think you should say that. Bibi, I don't. Are you going to put that bit in the show, Bibi?
We are getting to a point in our lives where I'm afraid to sometimes ask, "How's your dad?
How's my dad? He's good. He's all right. Yeah.
It's just that because some people's dads die and mums and dads die, don't they, at our age?
Yeah. He's in his 70s, mate.
Her dad's a big Man United fan.
Oh, he's great, your dad. I've met your dad. Does a door at Old Rope.
He's a good man, he's a good man.
He does do the door. He will be up. He'll be coming to see both your shows.
Tell him I said hello and we'll watch the match.
Yeah, he wants to. He's already asked me where you are, what you're doing, what you're saying. My dad, my dad is like 74. He runs the door at my gig in London, which is Old Rope, which is the best night in London. So,
You won't hear anything.
Yeah.
So these four people are ever over again.
Yeah.
These are the kind of people that'll come because they'll probably go to London for the weekend but arrive on a Monday.
Yeah.
Go on Wednesday, so it'll be a good time to come to your show.
Come to Oxford Circus and sit in a sweaty little basement. The best act.
Make sure you get the right sweaty basement.
There are lots of
in the West End.
There's a few sweaty basements that you would want to avoid.
How long have you been running Old Rope now, Tiff? It's been a while, hasn't it?
About 7 years.
It's brilliant. I love it, though. It's always such a nice audience. You can do... Sometimes they're a bit too kind to you, that audience. They're so nice.
You do
new material. You're like, I've nailed it. Go do it somewhere else. Go, those bastards at Old Rope were too nice.
Go and do it at a horrible
club. You get famous people there, don't you?
Often. Do get famous people, quite a lot of the time. Get lots of visiting comics. We've had a lot of the Australian comics over. There's a whole fringe going on there. So if you're listening in London, outside of Edinburgh, stuff is actually happening. We've got Phoenix Fringe running. So we've got people like Ardlo Hanlon, but people who've played the club like Steve Merchant, Hannibal Buress. Rich Hall does it most weeks. Rich Hall is always sort of at the bar in a 10-gallon hat. I don't know if that's the right size. And if it's 10 gallons, I don't know how many gallons. Is it genuinely that you're supposed to be able to take the hat off and fill it with water?
I don't think you'll get 80 pints in there.
No, you reckon?
No, what about 10 gallons?
Why is it called a 10-gallon hat?
I don't know. You're American, aren't you, Michael? Do you know? He doesn't know.
No idea.
It's a cowboy thing. I don't know. I don't know. But he'll be there. He's at the bar. And Stuart Black, who's in the audience today, said that when Rich is not there, it's kind of like the Ravens not being at the Tower of London. Rich always needs to be at the bar. And Rich is great because he loves just watching comedy. So he'll watch everyone. He'll be there for the whole night. And it's a good vibe. And that's how I sort of see people put together their Edinburgh shows. And that's how I put together my Edinburgh show.
Yeah.
So it's really nice. You get to see what themes are emerging. You get to see brilliant routines in inception. And I feel like I'm the midwife because I'm there going, go on, push it out. Push it out. That is an ugly baby. Put it back up there. Put it back up. So, yeah. So it's really helpful and useful for Edinburgh.
So have you seen a lot of this stuff in gestation? You got any top tips for shows that you're excited to see?
I'm writing a blog for the Herald. I think in my first one, I've recommended Stuart Black, who is again in the audience, comic/philosopher/person who doesn't like being called a slashy, Stuart Black. I've recommended Michael's show. We gig together in New York, or I did Michael's gig in New York, I think.
Everyone knows him.
It was in New York.
I don't know anyone.
Where was it? It was in Greenpoint, maybe, or somewhere out in Brooklyn. So I've recommended that. Catherine Ryan, although Catherine is so sold out now, it's unreal.
Yeah.
Lou Sanders.
Oh, I'm really excited about her show.
Whose show has the best title? It's called "Excuse Me, You're Sitting on My Penis Again." Which is a great show title. Cray Cray Cabaret. That is amazing. That is Beth O'Brien from Lovely Comedy has brought a band over from Nashville.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the drummer is blind and he can play drums with one hand and double bass with the other. They're phenomenal. What? Yeah, they're a phenomenal band out of Nashville. And the cabaret is hosted by Phil Nichol and Beck Hill.
I think I'm doing one of those, actually. Yeah. That rings a bell.
It's
going to
be any time that I don't have another late show, that's probably where I'll be hanging out, because it's down at the Stand and it's just a bit
of
fun.
At what time?
That's a good point. Could someone look that up? I think it's about 11 o'clock.
Maybe it's earlier,
actually, because it's after Phil Nichol's show.
It is 10 past 11, I'm pretty sure.
10 past 11,
yeah,
right.
I've got that because it's in my diary. Down I can't remember what day I'm doing it, but yeah.
Yeah, it's down at the Stand end of town, which, you know, come because that's where
that
my show's
like
on.
That sounds like a song, doesn't it?
The Stand end of town.
I saw him. Where?
At the Stand end of town. Yeah. So that's there's a lot of great stuff on at the Stand. I think Michael's on at the Stand. Catherine's on at the Stand. Bridget, Stuart Lee, you know, the usual suspects. But also just other people. You know, Mary Burke's show, who's called The Notorious Mary Burke. It's great. All about rap. So I'd be interested to see that.
And you're coming on the Stand, aren't you, Tiff?
I'm on at
what
the Stand. I'm on at 4:05. And it's my first
show
today.
In the morning?
Yeah, in the morning. Yeah, that's the kind of act I am. I just want the drunks and the fucking... Yeah.
Insomniacs.
Yeah.
And postmen.
The people who are just up or haven't gone to bed. That's what I'm aiming for. 4:05. So the first one is today. And there's been a little bit of a thing because I got to the room yesterday to do my tech. And it is a lot bigger than we all thought the room was.
Right.
And it's a sort of a ballroom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which, you know.
So which Stand number is it?
Stand six.
Okay.
And so I thought it was about 80 seats. Right. And then I get there and it's about 130, which is quite a jump, really. So what I'm saying is, please come to the show so I'm not crying in a ballroom on my own.
Oh, that sounds like a song.
Yeah.
Crying in the ballroom on my own. At the Stand end of the town.
We should write a musical about this, Justin.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Doing
it's
it
happening.
As we speak.
It's happening. I mean, if
I want to be in a musical.
Do
I can't
you?
Sing
you,
though.
I was gonna
that's
say,
a problem.
No. You're adenoidal like me. I can't sing to save
I am saving myself because I'm a bit of an actor.
Yeah.
I'm saving myself for my dotage. I will play Fagin and I will do it very well.
Nice.
I'm reviewing the situation.
Yeah, nice.
I could do it, can
you
I?
You do that in front of your mirror every day, don't you?
I've got to pick a pocket or two, my dear.
There slightly are goes, producers listening.
Slightly goes into Bruce Forsyth. The time. I'm reviewing the situation.
Yeah. Sunrise, sunset. Sunrise, sunset. That's another one.
I don't know that bit. A little bit I've perfected. I'm reviewing.
I could do Stevie Nicks turning into Cartman.
Oh, do you? I love your Stevie Nicks impression. Do your Stevie Nicks
voice. Right, yeah. You have to do Stevie Nicks turning into Cartman. And basically the reason I think she turns into Cartman is because she had a heavy late 70s with nefarious substances. All right, let's see if we can do it. Now here you go again, you say you want your freedom, but who am I to bring you down? It's only right that you should play the way you're feeling. Have you any dreams you'd like to share?
At the Stand end of the town.
I feel like I'm at the birth of something here. This is
Stevie Nicks, Cartman, Bruce Forsyth.
What would your musical be about?
Maybe about a poor boy who arrives. I looks like, because they do that, don't they? They start to talk, and you know, at any moment, it will become a song. And then they look over there, don't they? But not yet, for we have this problem.
I like the bit at the end of the song where it just gets really awkward and they all walk off away from each other as if you haven't just burst into song.
I like, because I can't sing, I've done a few pantos.
Right.
My favourite bit of the panto is when about a week before we open, they go, do you know you said we were going to get you to sing that song? Well, we're going to leave that now, so.
Oh, no. Yeah. You could talk through it or attempt to... that's a bit I've dropped from my show this year, actually. It's in the brochure. It says, may contain Spanish rap, which was a bit I was planning to have in the show about doing raps with different accents, and I would get challenges from people to do different ones. But my favourite was to do Vanilla Ice with a Spanish accent.
Ice.
I mean, we're going to have to hear that.
Yeah. Or as they would call it, Vanilla Ice. All right, stop. Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly, flow like a harpoon daily and nightly. Will it ever stop, Joe? I don't know. turn off the lights and I'll glow to the extreme, rock a mic like a vandal, light up a stage, wax a chunk like a candle, deadly.
Beautiful.
If you've dropped that from your show, your show's gold.
Yeah, if that's gone, what's left?
Because that's better than anything that's in my show. My show's pretty good. So.
Pretty. I'm coming to see it. I'm coming to see yours as well. Oh, I don't clash with anything. That's the joy of being on at 4
o'clock. What, that dress?
Yay! She's wearing an orange dress.
I'm wearing an orange dress, and I am fully channeling some kind of Buddhic.
With those trainers, there's definitely a Native American. You've got beads on. You've got. Yeah. My grandfather was part Native American. Right? The tribe that we're from, this is absolutely true. People think I made it up. It's called the Mi'kmaq tribe. I know.
From Ireland, are they Mi'kmaq Paddywhack?
Yeah, I was going to say Mi'kmaq Paddywhack.
Well, yeah, just
give a dog a bone.
But we apparently, it was all very exciting when we found this out about our heritage. But apparently, they were proper bastards, and that when the French were colonizing, my family from Canada, when the French were colonizing parts of Canada, the tribe that my family are from were mercenaries who'd go out and scalp the other Native Americans for the French.
Wow. Yeah.
How awful.
I know. So wow. We were excited. Oh, we're Native American. Oh, we're the bad ones.
Here's a lovely Native American story for you. And people never believe this, but you have to Google it. In the late 1800s, Buffalo Bill Circus toured the UK. And they were based in Salford. And they were based very close to where Media City is now. A lot of the BBC stuff comes from there. And they camped up on the banks of the Manchester Ship Canal. Okay?
Wow.
And they sort of like were there for so long, they kind of got off with locals. And there's Cherokee blood in Salford to this day.
Wow.
Oh my God. A Cherokee mank is something else. I want to encounter that.
Oh, like, ow. 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 Easy.
Have a mank reservation.
Yeah. That's a good story, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's a great story.
There you go.
It's like lots of Scottish Italians as well. Yeah. You get really interesting mixes of people when you go. Glasgow's got heavy concentration. Well, my boyfriend's Scottish Italian, in fact. Ooh. So it's, you know.
Well, Spanish,
they drink a
Ireland,
lot, but they don't like to talk about it.
The Spanish Armada, when it crashed in Ireland on the West Coast, and there's a lot of Spanish blood in Ireland, isn't there? Carl Spain, yeah. Funnily enough.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit Spanish.
And then it's Spain, his surname. Yeah. We're just going to go away. Really on the nose with this one, guys. Spain. Yeah. What's your surname?
Who was your daddy? No, that's you got any, got any funny blood in you? What? Got any?
Me?
Yeah, what's your little?
Well, I thought I was always told I was a little bit Jewish.
Right.
And a little bit
Romany. Which bit, but that's...
A bit Romany.
I'm Romany as well.
A little bit Romany, okay, yeah. But my family were show people. The Silcocks, you know the Silcocks, travelling fair?
Yeah.
So that's what my grandma was, a Silcock.
So is it the blood? Entertainment?
Yeah, that and ripping people off on the dodgems, yeah. Getting off with people's sisters behind the ghost train.
I've got Romany as well. My great-grandfather, who was called Moses Moody.
What a brilliant name.
Yeah. So he was Romany. So I've got that on my mum's side. Also, my mum's dad was Welsh. My dad's Scottish. I'm all over the place,
wow,
mate.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I think I'm properly English.
My family are from Newfoundland, Canada, which is the Newfies are basically the butt of all the jokes in Canada. And that's my family. My mum's a Newfie. And I'm going there for the first time, actually, after this Fringe. I'm so excited.
Oh, wow.
The Newfie family. Yeah.
That'd be amazing to go to. I've always wanted to go to Canada. I've never been, so you have to...
She's bringing a message.
Oh, I've got a message. Okay, Tiff, I believe you have to leave us.
Yes, I've got to go and prep for my...
Do a quick plug for your show before you go.
4:05 p.m. at Stand 6. You'll know it's the ballroom. It's got its own little courtyard.
Where is it? Is it the stand end of town?
Yeah, it's next to... It's stand end of town, crying alone in the ballroom. Next to 3 and 4, where stand 3 and 4. I was literally just next to there.
Brilliant.
So 5 and 6.
I will definitely be along.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, and I'll see you at yours, guys.
Look forward to seeing it. Take care. Tiff, have a good one tonight. Enjoy your first show.
I turned the microphone off, so you didn't know what to do. You didn't know whether to put it down, did you? It's all a bit weird about helping you out there.
Tiff Stevenson, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! Don't forget to go see her show. Right, I think it's time to introduce another guest into the mix, don't you?
Why does she get to go?
You can go if you want, Justin.
No, I'm all right for a minute.
You're loving it, don't
I'm sweating.
You couldn't stand up, you're so hot. Look,
could have had a drink or something.
Got some water. I got some water.
No, you've had it. I'm not.
Were you worried you're going to get malurgy?
I haven't seen your kitchen.
Fair point. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to introduce to the stage my next guest. He's come all the way from the States. We're very excited to have him. Please welcome Mr. Michael Shea. Do come and join us, Michael. There's a mic on the seat. Nice to meet you.
Thank you for having me here.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good. I know this feels like really early morning in Edinburgh time, doesn't it? Lunchtime.
Yeah, it's about 2 a.m. my time.
Mate.
Oh, no, wait a minute. It's like 7 a.m.
When did you get here? Have you
like
you
3 weeks ago.
Oh, so the jet lag excuse has gone.
Yeah, no, I'm sticking with it.
Fair play, fair play. Have you done your first show yet?
No, I do it tonight at 7 p.m. or 7:30 or something like that.
Great. And what venue are you at? Something like that. Just turn up at 7, you'll be fine.
I'll be late. I think it's at 7 or 7:30.
Hang on, I've probably got
somewhere.
It written down. Let me
it's at the stand
you
somewhere.
Show is. You are on at 7:45.
Yeah. Oh.
So see, you would have been there 7:45.
They probably
three.
Told me 7:30 so that I'd get there at 7:45.
Yeah, let's say 7:30. Just
let's think. Call it at 7:30.
So this is your second Fringe, is that
this
right?
This is my second Fringe.
Cool. So your first one was in 2013.
Yeah.
And how did you find it?
Well, I was sick, so I hated it.
Oh.
I had an ear infection. No, seriously, I had an ear infection. I woke up in the middle of the night and there was an alarm going off, and I found out there was no alarm going off.
Oh shit!
It was in my ear. I had an ear infection, and I went to one of those free hospitals you guys got. And
how was that for you?
It was great. Doctor looked at my ear. He was like, "This is infected," and I was like, "It's the other ear." And he gave me penicillin and told me to go to Boots. And I was like, "What the fuck is Boots?" And he showed me where Boots was, and I went to Boots to get medicine, which doesn't. And it was very nice. They gave me the medicine and didn't charge me for it.
Yay, welcome to Britain.
I thought it was a trap. Yeah. I was like, listen, I'm going to leave this store with this medicine. You better not fucking chase me. They let me go.
I feel your pain or ear infection.
Can I say that F word? Because I said it seven times.
You can say whatever the fuck you like on this show. We are unregulated.
Well, here comes
the
N word.
Get it all out your system here. So tell us about your show. 6 stars.
Yeah, I don't know. I called it that because it seemed like the worst thing you could possibly do. Now it doesn't have to be funny.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, who cares?
Work now, done, right?
It's already 6 stars, so you can't say this show sucks. 6 stars.
How do you find that? Because the reviewing, with Justin, obviously as an act at the Fringe, the reviews are... Do you read your reviews?
No, I'm not bothered.
No, I don't look at mine. Do you read yours? Do you just
apart from the good
all
ones.
The time. Sometimes I read them on stage.
Really? Obsessively
if
reading
them. If they're good enough.
I just find it... I don't know. My show is what it is. I can't... You know, make it any better or worse by reading.
If you
the
get,
reviews.
Do you know what? It doesn't matter. If you get a nice one, it's nice. If you get a bad one, it's bad.
Yeah.
No. Do you ask people who go to see shows? Do you read reviews or do you listen to what people say on the street? And
people
do you
read
the reviews?
Man.
So the my husband does. He's in charge of
Mr.
everything
Fox
we
reads
do.
Reviews, and the rest of them do what they're told. Wow. Are you a TripAdvisor addict? Are you one of those? Ah, TripAdvisor. That thing. I saw a thing. Have you seen the TripAdvisor for Auschwitz?
You guys are a family? I just noticed that. I'm like, wait a minute.
This Trip is the Advisor. Fox family who have been specially invited to join us today.
Oh, shit.
There's TripAdvisor for Auschwitz.
There's a TripAdvisor for Auschwitz, and somebody complains that there's no gift shop. Can you believe that?
Oh, my God.
It's terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. Yeah. Yeah. So, keep using TripAdvisor. It's brilliant. So, tell us a bit about your show, Michael.
Man, all I know is about an hour, and I really don't know what's going to be.
Cool. So, you're winging it.
Yeah. I'm going to kind of wing it. I'll be honest with you. I'm really going to wing it.
Brilliant. I can't wait to see
you
it.
You guys got to see this shit, because it might be sad.
Man has a breakdown daily.
You're going to get your money's worth, for better or worse. I might just lay in a fetal position, talk about how I miss home. I might just play songs all day and ask you guys if you want something to drink. Hey, whatever you want. Who knows? We'll see.
What you doing there?
Come twice. You'll get two different shows.
What you do in the States? Do you do clubs or do you tour?
Oh, I've been doing a lot of clubs, like smaller sets, you know. And then I just went to London and did like a couple of shows or whatever that went okay before here. And then I came here. And then I'm going back on tour when I get back to the States on the Oddball Fest.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that should be fun. And then we start back at SNL like a couple of weeks after that.
How do you find the audiences here? Is it?
You guys are good listeners. You guys are very good listeners. There was times at first where I would be performing and I'd be like, why do they hate me? And then at the end, they'd be like, brilliant show. And I'm like, fuck you, man. You when I needed a laugh.
Yeah. Can you tell your faces that? Yeah.
Yeah, they're paying attention. Like, they're with you. You can tell a story that goes nowhere and people will not leave.
Is that a British thing? Is that a white thing and a black thing?
I think it's a British thing because I don't know, and even white people would yell, "Show us your tits." But
so I've done some black gigs in the UK.
Yeah,
and it's just like unbelievable. You can just say, "Hi, how you doing?" And people are like,
yes. Yeah,
and I go, "Does the
energy
yet.
Different?" Isn't
yeah,
it?
And then when I do a job, they go, "That's not funny."
Yeah, you probably got some shit on your face, but yeah. No, but if. I think it's more of a, you guys are just used to going to shows, you know, and watching shows. If you used to going to shows, like if I go to a play, right, there's a certain kind of, like, you guys perform in theaters a lot of times. Like, that's a normal thing. In America, if you perform in a theater, you're a huge star.
Right.
Most people don't perform in theaters. You perform in shit.
There is a big difference, isn't there, between the club audience and the theater.
Like, absolutely.
You know, in our comedy clubs, probably more like what you said back in the States.
But people will leave a club if it's not good, or people will demand that the show get better. But like if you're at a play in a theater, if the play sucks, you're not going to get up and leave, or you're not
increase the dramatic tension, Othello.
Yeah. You're not going to do that. Yeah. So,
but I do find those theater audiences can be difficult sometimes, because if you've played a comedy club the night before where they're a bit lively and you know joining in a bit, and then you're looking at people who are just nodding and smiling at you. You know, it can be a bit unnerving, that change of energy.
Yeah, you just got a longer attention span. In America, the attention span's like this. It's like you need a joke every about 5 or 6 seconds. You need a laugh.
Yeah.
And then you can earn the right to tell a story by the end of your set. Here, you can start off with a long ass. I can't say who it was, but I remember I watched a show here, and he was just telling a fucking story immediately. And I was like, hello? Good to meet you too. He just fucking told a story for like 5 minutes, and at the end there was a joke, and everybody was like, that's great. And I was like, no, it wasn't, man. He fucking cheating. Yeah. But you know, that's how it works.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no wrong right way to do it. I'm just saying it's different.
Yeah, sure.
So now I don't tell jokes. I go up there, I just tell a story for about 59 minutes, and then there's a punchline. Yeah. It's incredible.
And it'll be worth
six
the
stars.
The other night, it didn't work. I heard this great story the other day about Michael, probably not heard of it, there's a comedian called Ken Dodd. Twice he's got mentioned. He told his story about his new act. Goes back in the days of Variety, he goes to see this agent, and he goes, "Will you take me on?" The agent goes, "What do you do?" And the act goes, "Don't do anything." Because what do you mean? He goes, "Just get on stage and just don't say anything." Edgy goes, "That's going to be terrible." He goes, "Come and see me." So he goes on stage, just stands there, does nothing. The audience can't believe it. They're loving it, cheering him. So he goes on, does a theatre the next day, even bigger show and everything. The agent's loving it. He gets him on live at the Palladium.
Right.
Puts him on live at the Palladium. Storms it, gets an encore. Comes back on the next day, the papers come out, slam him. Wasn't tall enough.
Oh god! If you could see Michael's face on the radio right now, that's
no, that was
he liked it.
That was a good bit.
He smiled.
I liked it.
It's not my bit. It's not my bit.
It's a great bit.
Have you ever met Ken Dodd?
I've met him a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to one of his shows? Because they are notoriously long.
Shall I explain to you what he is, Michael? He's this band about 85. He was the biggest superstar in Britain in the 60s. He was bigger than the Beatles. He's got buck teeth and he has a tickling stick.
He was bigger than the Beatles.
In 1964, he was the biggest star in Britain. He's got a thing called a tickling stick, which is his penis. We don't ever talk about it, really. He had massive hits in the 60s. And he's, he got done for tax evasion, but won.
Yeah.
Because he had a jury of his peers in Liverpool. Yeah. We never got against him. He's a huge star, and he's famous for doing hours and hours and hours on stage.
How much taxes do you guys pay here? What's it like?
What in terms of
like sales tax? How much is it? What percent?
Well, that is 20%.
20%.
Yeah,
that's how it was in London. That is unreasonable.
This is it's still the same country despite their efforts.
Yeah, Scotland is still part of Britain.
Yeah, I know, but I never assume anything. I just don't want to be wrong.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
I was wrong last night on stage. I said something about paying for a prescription.
Oh, they don't here.
Don't pay for prescriptions here.
They no, don't.
It's only in England you pay for prescriptions. Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah.
There you go.
There you go, indeed. Right, let's bring on our final guest to join us.
Wait, am I leaving?
Please welcome to the stage to join us, Miss Lucy Paul.
Oh.
Oh. Justin, you have to rush off, do you?
Hello.
So, oh, hang on, we're doing a little swap.
Hello.
Oh, this is admin. Hi, Lucy. How are you? Justin,
hi,
let's see,
hi.
Go see
bye,
Justin's
Justin.
Show. Quick
bye,
plug,
bye.
Justin.
I'm not going to take this personal.
I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
See you, Justin.
Bye.
Thanks for coming in. Lucy, hi. How
hi,
are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for
thank
being patiently
you for having
waiting
me.
For us
yes,
to bring you on.
Of course.
How are you doing? I've got to say, this is bad radio, but your earrings are phenomenal.
Thank you so
are
much.
Are they like little ghetto blasters?
Yes, they're ghetto blasters.
They're amazing.
Boom
can
boxes.
You say that, ghetto blaster? Is that
no, you can't
ghetto
say
blaster.
That.
Say it's that? A ghetto blaster.
Ghetto blaster.
In my accent, it doesn't sound quite right, does it? You're right.
I've never heard that shit. Ghetto blaster.
Yeah, they
ghetto.
Say that in Germany, too.
Do they?
Ghetto blaster.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I love your it's face, true. Michael. It's brilliant.
Ghetto blaster.
Right. What would you call that in
a radio.
Boombox.
A boombox.
Boombox.
Fucking radio.
Fuck your radio, yeah.
Yeah
fair
man.
Enough. Fair
there's
enough.
A radio in the suburbs, too.
It's a suburb radio or a ghetto blaster.
So I'm sitting here now with two New York comics. You're based in New York, is that
yes,
right, Lucy?
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Cool. So this is your second Fringe.
Yeah, my second well. Fringe. Last year was my first.
So how did you find it?
Yeah, I loved it. I liked it a lot. I had a really good time.
Cool.
It went well. Uh-huh.
So you, in the States, are you doing the same sort of circuit as Michael? Are you?
No, I don't think so. I do more of theatrical comedy. I do a lot of character comedy, storytelling right. comedy. So I don't do like straight stand-up
right.
stuff.
So different sort of... Now, your show last year was called Hi Hitler.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've read some great reviews of it. That sounds like you had a good Fringe last year.
Yeah, I'm a German Jew and I grew up being fascinated by Hitler. Hilarious.
I suppose you would be.
Dying of laughter. And yeah, so it was called Hi Hitler, because of that. And, I had a mustache when I was born and thought I was a boy and liked Hitler and it all kind of came together like that.
So the show last year was a lot about your family, quite a personal mm-hmm. show. And is that yep. like, 'cause you're related to Bertolt Brecht, is that?
Yeah, I am.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
See, as somebody who did an A-level in theatre studies, I had to study your relative quite a lot.
Yeah. Cool. That last year for sure with press and everything.
Yeah.
So thank you Bertolt Brecht for that. No, yeah, that's the theatrical part of my family.
Yeah. 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 And this year's show, so this isn't such a personal show this year, your show, is that right?
No, it's 10 different characters. They're all New York characters that I collected on the streets of
right.
New York.
I mean, having a look at some of the character types you've got, just so the show's called Cry Me a Liver,
mm-hmm.
and you've got one character that's an Indian liver transplant doctor, is that right?
Oh, no, she didn't. She actually
she
had
make
to
show.
Stay home. She didn't make it. Yeah,
she
stayed home. But there's a bum, there's Putin's sperm, there's...
Whoa, hang on. There's Putin's sperm?
Yes.
How did Putin's that come sperm. About?
I don't know. He just kind of came about. He just kind of came out of...
Putin.
Me, that sounds really bad. I don't know. I was walking down the street in New York and it just appeared. He cool. appeared in front of me.
So that's sort of how you find your characters, is it? They just sort of
well,
you.
some of them, you know, I see on the streets and maybe I pick up a line, I hear somebody say something and sometimes
and
it just
starts something
comes
off.
Out. Yeah.
Cool. Uh-huh. Cool. Okay. And your show is on at the
Gilded Balloon.
At the Balcony Room. Have you done
every
your first
day.
Show?
I did it yesterday.
How
yeah.
did it go?
It went well. One woman stomped out across the stage.
Wow.
Because I have a bit where I play this Italian man on a speed date. And he talks about how he went all over the world trying to find love and he just can't find it and everything sucks and everywhere he goes it sucks. And he talks about Thailand and he says that he meets a beautiful woman there. And then she gives him herpes and then he finds out that she's not a woman, she's a man.
Right.
And so this woman jumped up and went, "If that's how you're going to talk about transgender people, I'm out of here." And fucking bolted. I was like,
whoa.
What? So I'd never no idea that joke could offend transgender
it's
people.
It's quite a hot topic at the moment
didn't
over
know
here.
That.
I don't know about in the States, but transgender
yes,
at the moment, transgender
topic.
Rights are really...
I didn't know that was a transgender joke, but it is, I guess.
I guess it is, yeah. Uh-huh. But I Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Because that's such a trope of Thailand and the ladyboys. And, you know, you've got the ladyboys of Bangkok show happening. So you go, well...
Maybe she was one of them.
Maybe. You never know. Yeah, it is interesting how we're all learning, aren't we, what we can and can't say certain...
I guess. I'm going to keep saying it. I don't think it's offensive to transgender people.
I mean, I don't know what you think, Michael, about in terms of offense in your jokes. As long as you can stand by what you're saying. Sorry?
Some of them are hot.
Yeah.
Listen, it depends on... I feel like... Here's the thing. If what were we talking about?
We were talking about transgender. And just offense in comedy generally.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I think as long as you can stand by what you've said.
I think it's very offensive to be offended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Very true.
I am choking on air. Sorry, guys.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong?
Just a bit of water just went down the wrong way, Michael. But I'm fine. I'm just watering eyes and it's all going to be fine. I'm not going to die. No need for Heimlich. It's fine. Yeah. It's So, Lucy, one of your characters I'm really interested in is...
You've got a tranny?
Huh?
Yeah, exactly. She should have waited.
One of the characters I'm really interested in is your character from Brighton.
Oh.
Have you been to Brighton?
Yes. No.
I used to live in Brighton.
I've never been to Brighton.
I went to university there and lived there for a long time. So cool. Where did your inspiration come for that?
It came from someone I know from Brighton. I just... fucking say that she's from Brighton. See how you guys feel about that. How all the experts be like, your accent is horrible.
Oh, go on, do us a bit of British. There's a bit of Southern British.
Oh, God. All right. Well, she kind of talks like this, like, Mom, hello, Mom. Hello. I'm on a diet, Mom. In the morning, I just take an apple and I take the stem out of the apple and then I throw the apple away and then I chew on the stem and that like burns like massive calories, Mom, because I'm skinny and I'm a celebrity.
Lovely.
Is that good
enough?
Well done.
I think that deserves a round of applause.
Don't judge me.
It's definitely better than my New York.
Thank you. That's for sure. Oh, let's hear your New York. Come on.
I couldn't even. I am not coffee. A character actress. There is absolutely no way.
Nothing?
Coffee. I could do accent one word in all accents. That's enough. Have a key word, don't you, for like a Somerset accent. It's always cider. Cider.
I can do a little bit of Scottish now, finally.
Oh,
I can
go
just
on.
Do all right. That's nice. My Scottish. It's pretty good, right?
Oh, yeah.
Great. That and great.
See, our family, you're from Northern Ireland, our family, the Bog family that are in today. And my mum lived in Northern Ireland for a long time, but I can't do it. You. That's all I can do.
I can't do it.
It's always one word.
I can just do, I'm 40 now, I'll be 41 next year. That's my Irish accent.
And why that sentence?
I don't know. No idea.
There you go.
They're not impressed. Sorry.
And you said your family, so were you born in the States?
I was born in Germany.
In Germany, whereabouts?
In Hamburg,
cool. And how old were you when you went to the States?
Eight,
cool. So you speak German?
Yeah.
Okay, I feel like I want to practice my...
Natürlich.
Ich habe ein bisschen in der Schule gelernt, aber
wirklich?
Habe fast alles vergessen.
Sehr gut, du sprichst sehr gut Deutsch.
Dankeschön.
Bitte sehr.
People at home going, have I tuned into the wrong thing here? What have I... I went to Berlin for the first time recently. It's an amazing city.
Really, do you like it?
I properly fell in love with it. I'm a bit obsessed with the whole East Germany. When I was at school, I learned German, and my German teacher was from East Germany. And I started learning German in 1989, which obviously is when the war came down. And so it was just a really exciting time to be. So I've always been a little bit obsessed with that history, that part of history and the, you know, whole divide and things. So, yeah, I love Germany.
Yeah, I don't really like Germany that
much. Okay, good. Do you go back often?
I do from time to time, but I don't know. I don't. It's not my vibe there.
Sure. No, fair enough. I mean, Berlin's very different, I think, isn't it, as a city to a lot of Germany. It's very...
Yeah, it is very different.
Yeah.
And it's now very international and everything. But,
You
know, if you're not German, you like it. If you're German, you don't.
You don't.
It's kind of German to do that.
Yeah, fair enough. Cool. Have we plugged what time your show is on, Lucy?
Yes, 4 o'clock at the Gilded Balloon every day.
Brilliant. And Michael, you're on at 7:45. You might want to write that down so you can remember. 7:45 at the Gilded Balloon.
Nope.
No, you're not the Gilded Balloon. So you're at the Stand 3.
Absolutely. I'm at the Stand 3.
Yeah, you are.
How many stands?
Do you want to, there's six, I believe. Do you want to take this
serious?
Bit of paper with you so you know
Wait,
where
no,
you're going
is it
to?
A, is it a different place?
There's the Stand Comedy Club, which is Stand One.
Yeah.
And then they have different rooms dotted around that area of Edinburgh. So I'm not entirely sure which one Stand Three is.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah, you might want to check that out before you get there. So, brilliant. Are you? How are you finding both of you? How are you finding the Scottish cuisine? It always comes up because I get here and the first thing I do
Mars is bars.
Have you had a deep fried Mars bar?
No, but I definitely will.
Do you know, I had one. I first did the Fringe 20 years ago. 95 was my first Fringe. And that was the year that they invented the deep fried Mars bar. And it was such a big deal at the Fringe that everyone had one. And they just taste like chocolate pancakes. Like, they're fine.
But sounds good.
I couldn't eat a whole one.
No?
Do you fancy
really?
A deep fried Mars bar?
No.
No. Okay. Deep fried pizza? That's something you can get, a battered deep fried pizza.
No, man.
That is a thing. I hate to perpetuate the stereotype.
But
I mean,
yeah, but it's not like Americans are better. They deep fry fucking turkeys for Thanksgiving.
Well, this is, I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, that's meat.
I'm going to Canada for the first
time. They deep fry a raw thing. You don't deep fry a cooked thing. That's overkill.
Yeah.
It's already a pizza.
Absolutely.
Who doesn't like pizza? Who's like, you know what would make this pizza better? Oil.
I've got a theory about that. I think because it rains so much in Scotland, they eat so much oil to keep a nice sheen on their skin, to keep them waterproof.
Ah.
That's my theory. Mm-hmm. I actually think I eat better in Edinburgh than I do the rest of the year.
That makes no sense.
Huh?
Oil and water does mix.
Exactly. So the water runs off.
Oh, man. You got to reevaluate that.
That. I find I eat better at the Fringe than I do the rest of the year round, because when you're touring and stuff, it's difficult, isn't it, to eat well. Do you find that I...
But where do you eat here? Do you cook or do you go out?
I cook in my flat. I tend to. Yeah, I'm pretty good at staying in.
I just don't eat.
You just don't eat?
No, while I'm here.
Nervous energy.
Mm-hmm.
Get you through. I couldn't eat yesterday before my show, but I'm fine now. There's nothing of you. You need to eat some deep fried haggis.
That's yeah, oh God.
Have you tried haggis?
No.
What's haggis?
Haggis. Oh, okay. We'll have fun with this.
Haggis is the abyss of Scotland.
Haggis is a traditional Scottish food that you should try when you're here. I actually love haggis. Taste it. But what it is the lining of a sheep's stomach. And it is filled with sort of oatmeal and meat and herbs and spices. And it tastes really good if you don't think about what it actually is.
Do you deep fry that?
You can deep fry that. They do batter it and deep fry haggis, indeed. And
the stomach lining with oatmeal.
It's a sheep's stomach lining filled with oatmeal and herbs and meat.
All right, so who's the psychopath to figure that out?
If I knew that. It's an
ancient how
do
you
thing?
Find out that shit? When do you find out? Oh, you know what?
Someone doing a sheep autopsy.
I bet we could eat that sheep's stomach. If we put oatmeal in it, it'll taste way better. Sheep's stomach and what?
Oatmeal and herbs and spices, and you can get vegetarian or you can get meat versions.
Fuck.
How can you get vegetarian?
Who's a vegetarian and eats
sheep
stomach? That makes no sense.
No, they must use like a condom or something. What walnuts?
Yeah. Condoms and walnuts.
Condoms and walnuts. That's. I'm going to get letters about this. Like, you know.
It's called haggis?
Haggis.
All right.
You never heard of it?
No.
Haggis, neeps, and tatties is the meal.
Man.
So neeps are turnips.
That's not a sentence I will ever say. No haggis for me. Do you guys do haggis over there?
If folks don't do haggis. I love it. It tastes, honestly, trust me.
Didn't
after
make it
a while, you just
got
to stop. You just got to say, you know what? This sheep is dead and there's no more food on it. We've had the legs. We've had the rack. We've had all the things. We don't need to go to the stomach.
But it's good. It means there's no waste.
Huh?
No waste. It's good.
Yeah, it's
ecological.
Waste.
Very Scottish.
It's definitely waste. You don't think that's waste?
What? You know it's being used, isn't it? What, better than burning it?
Do something else. Make jump rope.
Sheep gut jump rope.
Do something. Fucking, ugh. I don't want to, listen, that's rude.
Hey, I'm not Scottish. I don't
make fun of, no, but I mean, people listening are probably shaking their fists at their ghetto blasters, but... I just don't think that you guys should eat sheep stomach. That's fucked up. If I was a sheep and I found out that's what you was doing with my stomach, I would be upset.
But you'd be fine about us eating your legs.
My leg, yeah, because I'm proud of my legs. But if you're going to eat my stomach, you just being rude now. Now you're just, now it's personal. You know what I mean?
Ah.
Sheep.
Sheep's the sausage. So you've not done the haggis thing, Lucy?
No, I don't eat meat. Actually.
You can get vegetarian haggis.
Yeah, but then I can just mash up walnuts and oatmeal and fucking call it haggis.
Basically a nut roast.
What's the point? Yeah, exactly.
How do you find veggie eating in Scotland? Is that
good? Yeah.
There's some nice vegan cafes and things about. I don't know if you've...
I don't know about that. I just eat, you know, pizza or nothing or leaves
fried
off
pizza.
The trees. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, a country with like so much rain, you guys don't have a lot of vegetables.
Yeah. This is a thing that gets leveled at Scotland. I do eat better here, I think, than anywhere because I'm in one place for a month. That's
I don't think
nice
I've
thing.
Seen a vegetable since I've been here.
Are you eating out or are you cooking for yourself?
What do you mean?
Do you, while you're here, where are you staying? In an apartment?
I'm staying in an apartment.
Cool. With other people? With other comics?
No.
No, on your own.
This is me.
How about you, Lucy? Are you sharing here?
No.
So you're living, wow.
Yeah, we live together. We just didn't want to say it.
Hang on. Is this the grand coming out of the... Cool, because I'm sharing with two other comics.
It's too early.
It's nice. I think it's nice to share and, you know, we get each other wound up and
no,
for the
not.
Shows.
How many people do you live with?
There's three of us here. Three
no,
comics.
I couldn't do that.
So
I like to use the bathroom nude for everything.
Right, fair enough.
I get butt naked for everything.
Yeah. I do. That's the one thing I do miss about sharing and not being on my own is being able to walk around.
Well,
naked.
Not butt. I'll leave my pants like one ankle on.
Fair enough. Oh, stop
it,
Michael.
I just drag it like a...
Oh, God.
Like a prisoner, like a ball and chain. I drag it. I just drag it around with all my stuff. You hear chains and belts all on the floor. And that's how I poop.
I once stayed at a friend's house and I had to work the next morning. When I was about 17, and I'd shoved all my clothes into my jeans. And I got up the next day and went to work, and I bought clean underwear. And I was walking through town, and people were laughing at me. And I didn't realize I had a bra trailing from the trousers.
Nice.
Leg of my jeans all the way inside. Nobody told me. So I got
classy.
To work and realized I'd trailed.
You bought clean underwear? Yeah, man.
Well, yeah, no, that wasn't the part of the story you were supposed to focus on.
It's weird that you have to specify you bought clean underwear. I mean, they do
buy
dirty.
Soiled underwear
they
with
do
me
buy that
clean
in,
underwear.
In Japan, you can buy, they have vending machines dispensers. Of soiled underwear.
It's true. Yeah. I heard
shook her head, yes, that's absolutely true. Been
I
there.
Did hear someone, I'm sorry I'm going to say this in front of your 15-year-old son.
Did you think it was a Sprite? And then you...
I did hear something that people
hit the wrong
those
button.
Those used panties you can get in Japan. Apparently, there are people just get panties and rub Pritt stick on the crotch, which is a type of
Pritt stick.
Just it's a glue stick. Rub that on the crotch, and that's what you're actually buying.
Oh,
and then you're sniffing glue.
Savory, yeah, or whatever they do with them. I don't know. I've never bought a pair of used panties. I've got
glue.
So then that makes them feel good? I don't get it.
Just
how do you... Yeah.
I'm not a Japanese businessman. Like I couldn't pussy. Possibly...
Glue. Oh, God.
Just to give it that authentic look. My dad...
Who authentic?
Authentic look if it's somebody with a terrible infection.
Maybe because it makes you feel good. You smell it and then you're like, ah.
My dad ran a sex shop
and you forget that it didn't
living.
Smell like...
My dad used to run a sex shop. Yeah, that was my dad.
Your dad used to run a sex shop?
Yeah, that was his job.
Are you serious?
Yep.
What kind
of
sex shop?
And it was... we've got 2 minutes left, so I'll quickly tell you.
All right.
He ran a sex shop that
you
was...
You waited until 2 minutes to let us know this shit?
Thing is, listeners to this show know all about my dad's sex shop.
Stomachs for two.
I bang on about all the time. But they used to sell a toy. I'm so sorry about this, lads. They used to sell a toy called a pulsating pussy, right? Which is like a... Well, you already know what that is.
We know what that is.
But it used to come... This is the thing that intrigued me. It used to come with a bottle of authentic scent.
Nice.
Like, what is in that? You just authentic drip it onto scent. It and authentic scent. How do you harvest that?
Your dad doesn't know?
Well, he died and took that secret with him, sadly.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that.
But they used to sell some amazing things at my dad's shop. He'd sell a vibrator that you could plug into your car battery. So traffic jams would go with the... But, you know, they sold... It was great. I used to help my dad out in the shop quite a lot. And I used to, like... Because the regular guys that would come in, they would walk in and see a woman behind the counter just turn around and walk out again. That was...
The
was
ordering must be fun, like looking through the catalogs and picking.
Stock take.
Pulsating pussy, yes, we got to have that back this year. The car battery dildo.
Let me tell you, I used to do stock takes with my dad. I used to do, or take your daughter to work day. That's no girl should have to do a dildo stock take with her dad. That's why. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you ever so much for coming in, Lucy
thank
and Michael.
So
we're going to wrap up now. I just want to throw forward, tomorrow I am back. We are live tomorrow with Glenn Wall, Carl Kinane, Brendan Burns and Jess Robinson.
And the
which should be
family.
A lot of fun. So are the Boggs back? Thank you to the Boggs. I think give yourselves a round of applause, the
you
Boggs
guys
family.
Are real troopers.
That's brilliant. Don't forget to catch all our guests that you've seen today. You've seen Lucy Paul, you've seen Michael Shea, you've seen Tiffany Stevenson, and you have seen Justin Morehouse. I've been Angela Barnes. See you tomorrow. Thank you. Bye-bye.
FUBAR Radio presents.
Let me there.
Good afternoon, sir.
I can play the harmonica.
There you are. I got the FUBAR boom.
Fucking maniac.
You know what? I've loved this. This is the best one I've had on air in a very, very long time. Since this morning. So,
every Monday. Angela Barnes live from the Fringe on FUBAR Radio. This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.